Good morning and welcome to The White Way, a public service radio program of the Mo'ili'ili Honganji. Mo'ili'ili Honganji is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani and our members invite you to join us at temple services and activities. If you go to our internet website at www.mo'ili'ilihonganji.org, you will find a map of our location and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's broadcast is sponsored by the Miyasaki family, in memory of Mrs. Teo Miyasaki. Our speaker this morning is Reverend Bert Sumikawa of Windward Buddhist Temple. Good morning, Reverend Sumikawa.
Well, good morning, radio listeners. As it is still January, may I wish you a Happy New Year and best wishes as we look forward to a brighter and a safer year. In the Hawaii Herald, there was an article written by a Reverend Clarence Higa, who was a retired DOE special needs educator and a resident minister of the Seichi-yi Temple over in Pu'unui. His grandmother was a strong supporter of Shingon Buddhism, as was his mother. The Higa family became Buddhist more by blood association rather than religiosity. The faith factor was simply because his Obama and his mother said so. Similarly, with many of us, we simply went to the Buddhist temple because our parents told us to, without any thought of exploring the religion. Reverend Higa said that his parents made him do this for good luck. As the immigrants came to the West, so did the established sects of Buddhism and opened temples where the Issei lived and worked. Buddhist ministers conveyed their Dharma messages in their native tongue, and the immigrants were familiar with practices and rituals and language of their mother country. However, as time went by, and as the children of the Issei and their descendants appeared, English, or more precisely Hawaiian Creole, or Pidgin English, came into being. The Japanese language became a foreign language spoken only by the Issei and understood only by their firstborn children. Younger siblings did not have to learn the language because the firstborn would translate for them. Even if the younger ones did learn Japanese, World War II took care of that, as the Japanese language was not used and gradually it was forgotten. I myself, believe it or not, only spoke Japanese until the first grade. As spoken Japanese diminished along with the move of families from the plantation towns to the cities, Buddhism began to decline gradually. For most Issei and some Nisei as well, the understanding and practices of Buddhism were supported through interpretations of their native language. However, as the years went by, for generations beyond, we need more English-speaking ministers to serve them. Buddhism has become somewhat old or fossilized with old interpretation, and its methods of propagating the Dharma has persisted. Most of us only look Japanese or look Chinese or something else, but we are not that. We only look like that. We are truly American and Hawaiian at heart. Although to our credit and others as well, we hold on to and respect our heritage and mother culture, which should never be forgotten. But to continue on to the foreign aspects of the religion, I think, is fatal. Our predecessors, with their personal relationships to religion, did all they could to pass on their faiths and traditions to us, to teach us the way of Buddhism and Jodo Shinshu in particular, and we are forever grateful to them of this. But moving forward, it is the responsibility of the future generations to capture the imagination of religion for all who seek the knowledge to take refuge in the three treasures of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. To this end, we must first be willing to look reflectively at ourselves and seek answers. While Reverend Higa was basically talking about interpersonal relationships, we can translate that to our relationship with our congregation and how to embrace our larger community as well. He said that only with a hard look at who we really are and how we live can we begin to develop a sincere awareness of our current situation. And only with an honest assessment of our situation can we see real opportunities. However, if we rush to embrace opportunities and change with an understanding of ourselves skewed by our ego, prejudices and ignorance, then we will embrace empty opportunities that have no effect on the future. But if we are honest and see ourselves just as we are, then the opportunities we see will be capable of altering our future. We have a vision for our temples. Now let's together put it to work, guided by the light of Amida Buddha. The Buddha's primal vow remains unchanged. However, the method of transmitting the teachings of the Buddha Dharma to our contemporary society should be evolving according to social changes and the needs of today. In this light, let me tell you this story of a person by the name of Heitaro, who lived in the Hitachi area in eastern Japan, where Shinran had taught for many years. As a village official, he was obligated to go to the very famous Kumano Shrine, where he was required to pay reverence to the god of the shrine. Before going there, though, he paid a visit to Shinran to discuss his visit. Shinran reviewed with him the Pure Land teaching, stressing principles of true and trusting evident in the singleness of heart and the recognition of the oneness of all beings in Shin Buddhism. Shinran advised Heitaro that it was perfectly proper for him to fulfill his duties at the shrine, since he single-heartedly trusted in Amida Buddha's vow. Shinran counseled him like this: "This being so, it is not necessary to put on any outward form of wisdom or morality or purity, though we are holding within ourselves all manners of falsehood and unreality. Only let the vows of Amida, the original abode or essence, work themselves out. Never think that this is slighting the dignity of a god, and there will be no divine wrath visited you, yourself." Listening to Shinran's advice, Heitaro went to the shrine, but he did not strictly follow the ceremonial rules of the shrine, though he constantly recalled the admonition of Shinran. Consequently, he was visited in a dream by a layperson who came out of the shrine. This layperson asked Heitaro why it was that he didn't respect the deity and follow the shrine rules of purification. Just then, Shinran appeared and vouched for Heitaro's faith and his recitation of the name of Amida. The layperson bowed to Shinran, whereupon Heitaro awoke from his dream. He later reported the dream to Shinran, who then commented, "This is what I meant when I taught you earlier." Heitaro experienced the problem of acculturation, or the problem of adaptation of religious faith to the surrounding society and culture. It is a problem that is still here with us today. In other words, how do we understand the relationship of our faith to Western culture? We see in some of the other faiths and traditions effort to draw a line between one's faith and culture so as to keep the faith pure, not associate with other faiths. Or perhaps some people may give up their faith and surrender too easily to the dominant culture. Shinran, though, offers another possibility, that of participating in the culture while maintaining one's religious commitment. Dr. Al Bloom states in one of his messages that an advantage of Shin Buddhism is that religious commitment is not defined by external requirements. Shinran, following the spirit of Buddhism, recognized that trust in Amida's vow is a matter of one's mind and heart, not just following certain forms. He, in fact, rejected any external display as evidence of religious faith. Hence, in the story, Shinran states that it is not necessary to put on an outward form of wisdom or morality or purity. In order for the Honganji to grow and not remain stagnant, we must learn from other faiths and practices and incorporate some of these ideas into Shin Buddhist practice relative to the American mindset. We must not fail to adjust to changes in the social and cultural systems. Shin Buddhism developed in Japan according to the conditions present in the Japanese society then, but we must continue to find new ways to interpret, understand, and apply them to our modern society. In order for the Honganji to grow and not remain stagnant, we must learn from other faiths and practices and incorporate some of these ideas into Shin Buddhist practice relative to the American mindset. We must not fail to adjust to changes in the social and cultural systems. Let's visit meditation in our temples and sanghas, and let's revisit Toro Nagashi, or the Lantern Festival, and incorporate those practices within the concept of Jodo Shinshu Buddhism. Thank you all for listening with the hope that we approach the foreseeable future with a renewed aspiration and with great anticipation for the coming months and years ahead. It was to give all of us some food for thought and recall the words of Shinran Shonin that everything is within the virtue of Amida, the all-inclusive reality. Have a good day. Namo Amida Butsu.
Thank you, Reverend Sumikawa, for your Dharma message. To re-listen to the message, please check our website at www.moiliilihonganji.org. Tomorrow, Sunday, January 31st, we will have a special Project Dana appreciation service with our speaker, Mr. Kirk Uedro from Iolani School. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we would like to thank our sponsor, the Miyazaki family, and our speaker, Reverend Bert Sumikawa of Windward Buddhist Temple. We thank you for listening and invite you to join us next week, when our speaker will be Mrs. Nancy Shimamoto, former president of Moiliili Honganji Kyodai. Namo Amida Butsu.